It's Sunday morning, and you know what that means. It's time for the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali, Matt Marchese alongside you this wonderful October morning. Happy early Halloween to all those who celebrate, going out to parties, taking your kids trick-or-treating, perhaps. Halloween tomorrow, of course. Week eight in the NFL is here today. We have an early London game between the Broncos and Jaguars in about 90 minutes' time. The rest of the week will follow. Week eight starts its injury news and notes, and of course, your questions on the People's text line at 590-590. Anything you want, you can text us. Starts it questions, trade advice. We even got a fantasy police question last week, so shoot us text at 590-590, name and location. But Matt Marchese alongside me as usual. And Matt, first I have to ask you, are you a Halloween guy? Like, I know that kind of thing changes with a kid, as many things do, but still, are you and your wife, were you guys big into Halloween? And I'm curious, when is it appropriate to put up Christmas decorations? Is Tuesday too soon?
First of all, Tuesday is probably not too soon because we know the weather here will change to Christmas in like a week.
That's true.
My wife and I were never Halloween people for ourselves. Like, we enjoyed it for other kids and stuff like that because we never really got into it. Like, the best costume I ever had was, like, I found a cape, I grew a mustache, and I cut out like eyes in some like stretchy bandana thing, and I was Zorro one year. So it was ridiculous. Not big on that. But on our street, because we live in a small town, and we just moved in last year, and we have some friends, and they live on the street, and they're like, we're talking about candy. And they said, oh, what do you guys usually get? Like, you know, one or two boxes for the kids? They're like, oh, no. You get like four boxes here. So like 400 pieces of candy. And I was like, that seems a little excessive. And they're like, no, you should see the kids that come out. So what they do on the street is everybody parks their cars on the street or in their driveway, and they basically set up tables on the driveway so that the kids come up to the driveway, don't come to the door. And it's like I wouldn't say it's a big party, but it's a big like community event. So it's pretty cool. My daughter, obviously not able to go out trick-or-treating, but she's got her skunk costume because she's a little stinker, according to her aunt. So we're big on it, like for kids and stuff. We don't have like the big decorations and stuff like that, but it's fun to watch the kids go have fun. I've never been into it, but I do like the candy.
I always remember when I first moved to, like, my parents and I used to live in an apartment, and then we moved to a house. My brother was born, and I remember when, this is like in the 90s, and I remember when we moved, I went to a new school, and then after going to the new school for the first couple of days, and we had moved right around Halloween, and I remember we went around the street with my younger brother and sister, and one of the houses, like the houses that put up a million decorations on the other side of the street, was my librarian. And I thought, oh my God, my teachers live on my street. Like, this is too much. This is too much for a young show. But you know what? I got over it, thankfully. I will say my best costume, I have to dig up some pictures somewhere, but I think my best costume was when I dressed up as, remember when Taylor Kitsch played Tim Riggins in Friday Night Lights, the TV show Friday Night Lights? Mm-hmm. That was my best costume, which really just involved wearing a wig with long hair and then renting some football pads and wearing a Friday Night Light jerseys over it.
Yeah, and see, that's what I mean. Like, that's the extent that I would go to.
Right.
Like, last year, I didn't even... last year, Halloween was on a Sunday, and I don't dress up to begin with, but I was already in my Bill Zubas pants and Josh Allen jersey, so that's what I just wore outside, and everybody thought I was dressed up, but that's my normal Sunday attire for the Bills games.
I like it. Well, you'll have a chance to wear the Bills jersey later tonight. I keep forgetting the Bills are playing the Sunday nighter. I keep thinking to myself, oh, I got to make a decision on like Romeo Dubs for the Packers later tonight. And you know what? Thankfully, that's not until Sunday night, which is always nice to see. But you want to text us at 590-590, name and location. We will get to all of your fantasy news and notes, questions, start sits, everything you want at the top of the next hour. We'll try and prioritize some of the London questions, but really, we'll get to as many of them as possible on the air. And hey, you want to shoot us a Halloween-related question? Who would you wish you did not draft? Your spookiest draft pick this year? Whatever you want, you can shoot us a text at 590-590, name and location. Matt, I wanted to do this before we get into the start sits. I wanted to do this with you because the trade deadline in the NFL is tomorrow, right? Or pardon me, not tomorrow. It is on Tuesday, November 1st. Tomorrow is Halloween. And You know, there whatever happens, and I'm sure we're going to cover it on the fantasy podcast, the waiver wire podcast that we tend to do on Tuesday afternoon. So I'm sure some of this will be covered on that pod as well. But I've always wanted to get to like fantasy trades you wish could happen for the sake of the players you own, essentially, right? Everyone has a couple of players on their roster, probably at least one, I would guess, that you wish was in a better situation than they are right now because they're talented. You just wish they were, you know, they're trapped somewhere. You wish they were in better situations because they would produce more or you know, be better for your fantasy lineup, what have you. So with the trade deadline this coming week, I wanted to go through a couple of situations, a couple of players that I don't know if they're super likely to be traded, but they definitely have been discussed in the last, let's say, 2 to 3 weeks. And I wanted to start by getting some of yours because I have a pair. I know you have a pair as well. So why don't we start with one of yours, players you would like to be see traded come the NFL trade deadline on Tuesday, November 1st.
All right. I don't think this one's going to happen, although it could because the Bears are still in it. But my dude, Justin Fields, needs another receiver. He can't just throw the ball to Darnell Mooney or have the ball, nobody to throw to, and then have to run it himself all the time. Although that is pretty fun to watch. I would like to see, because the Broncos suck, and this game this morning is probably going to suck, Jerry Jeudy to the Chicago Bears to give Justin Fields another weapon in that offense. At least if they're not going to improve the offensive line, give him another guy to throw the ball to, someone that is a good route runner, someone that gets off the line quickly and can actually get open for him. Even if it is, you know, a half a second that it takes for him to get open, at least Justin Fields has somebody to throw the ball to. I think that that would be a really good pair with Darnell Mooney. The Bears should be able to eat some of the cost to get a guy like Jerry Jeudy, but I think that the fit would be really good. And God knows, as we've said time and time again on this show, Justin Fields just needs another weapon or two in this offense. And I think that even with the offensive line struggles, he can make it work. And maybe they'd get, maybe they would allow him to throw the ball more than 20 times a game.
Oh my gosh, I know, right? If Justin Fields throws the ball like 18 to 21 times in a single game, you're kind of like, wow, they're really letting
them loose.
Yeah. I know, which is crazy considering we live in 2022 and most guys throw the ball like, I don't know, like 35 times a game. It would seem like Mac Jones throws the ball more than Justin Fields does, which is insane, considering we may have seen Mac Jones lose his job yet last weekend, last Monday night, which is absolutely wild. But, you know, it's funny you mentioned the Bears because the Bears, despite the less than inspiring results so far this season, they have not lost a lot of game by a lot of games by double-digit points. So they lost to the Packers by 17 points. But they beat the Texans by 3 points. They lost to the Giants by a touchdown. They lost to the Bears by a touchdown. They lost to the Commanders by a touchdown. The Vikings by a touchdown. The Commanders by a touchdown. And then they beat the Patriots by like, you know, 15, 20 points this past Monday night. So you clean up a couple of things here and there, a couple more additions here and there. I don't see why the Bears can't be a better team. So, and on the flip side, the Broncos have been, I don't know, an abject disaster this year. You're hearing about Bradley Chubb maybe being traded if they'd lose to the Jags in London this morning. So I guess we'll see how the rest of the season for the 2-5 Broncos goes, but certainly not going very well so far. So, hey, I like the Jerry Jeudy trade. I wouldn't mind seeing Jerry Jeudy go to really any team. Like Jerry Jeudy going to like the Ravens, I think, would be pretty cool too, because I think Lamar Jackson deserves some kind of additional help other than Mark Andrews and a clearly banged up Rashad Bateman. And we'll talk about the Thursday nighter in a couple of minutes here. One of mine, I think, is one of the more popular ones, wide receiver Brandon Cooks, who of course currently plays for the Texans. I'd love to see him traded to really any wide receiver needy team, but I'm going to pick the Packers here. Obviously, that's one of the ones that's been discussed. I would love to see Cooks to the Packers, Matt. I have seen some rumors saying that Cooks might be traded to the Rams, and if that's the case, I have a nice Photoshop to share with you of Brandon Cooks in a Rams uniform. I'll just post that on Twitter for everyone to see.
It's really good.
Yeah, I'm very proud of it. It's very realistic. But no, I think Brandon Cooks to the Packers, I would love to see it because Lazard is injured and he's been inconsistent at best, even though he has been the most reliable Packers receiver. Dubs has the drops issues. Will that improve? It's possible, but we know Rodgers might be in his last legs here with the Packers specifically. Is Tonyan someone you want to rely on? Is Sammy Watkins someone you want to rely on? No, I would think. So Brandon Cooks to the Packers would be tremendous because here's the thing about Cooks, right, Matt? When we drafted him, I feel like the argument in favor of drafting Cooks has been, okay, he gets just an insane amount of target share, and because of that, he will, volume-based alone, produce points. And ever since week one, where I think he had like 12 targets, it has been steadily decreasing. And hey, it's because Damian Pierce has been really, really good. That's always tremendous. But the quality of targets has not been there, much like it was last year. So I would love to see him traded to a quarterback who would probably feed him the ball and feed him very high-quality targets at that.
Yeah, and what was the thing that I texted you when we were talking about these last night was, that's exactly the same one that I had. He's a good fit, and what we do know is that Brandon Cooks has been able to produce basically wherever he's gone in the NFL, whether it be with the New England Patriots, whether it be, you know, with the Houston Texans or with the LA Rams. Like, you can go the New Orleans Saints, go down the list of every team and every stop that Brandon Cooks has made, he's produced, and not all of them have been great quarterback situations. If he goes to Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, that easily becomes the most talented, well, I guess he had Drew Brees, so maybe not easily, but he becomes the most talented quarterback that Brandon Cooks has ever had. So I like the fit there. And honestly, I think I'm done with Brandon Cooks in Houston. They're still trying to figure things out. Like, Davis Mills is not going to be the quarterback there next year. I mean, he could be like a one-year stopgap next year because they're definitely drafting somebody. But I just think it's time for Brandon Cooks to just get out of there and get to a team that really needs a player like him, and Green Bay would definitely be at the top of that list.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the quarterbacks he's played with, because obviously he played with Brees for a number of seasons. He played in Los Angeles for a couple of years with Goff. He playing with in Houston with a whole multitude of quarterbacks, I'm sure.
And Brady. I forgot about that Brady.
Yeah, guy. And then the one season. Then they went to this. That was the year they lost to the Eagles in the Super Bowl, and he was concussed. He got, concussed, I think, right at the beginning of the game and didn't play for the entire Super Bowl, but he was very, very talented, of course. I always remember the Rams years, because that was right after he was with the Patriots, lost in the Super Bowl, went to the Rams, and then lost in the Super Bowl to the Patriots. And there was a play in that game, I don't know if you remember this, but he caught what Jared Goff hesitated on throwing the ball on what would have been a surefire touchdown. And Jason McCourty broke off his guy and broke up the touchdown in the end zone at the last possible second in a game that was like, what was the final score of that game? Like 13-10 or something like that?
It was the worst. It was the worst score ever. Yeah.
not a lot of offensive plays, period, in that one. I think Sony Michel scored the only touchdown in that Super Bowl. But yeah, Brandon Cooks, please, free Brandon Cooks. Let whatever Brandon is cooking, I will buy, because as long as it's not on the Texans, because he has been not so great this year. Do you have another one? I have one more. Let's get one more from you, Matt.
Yeah, this one's kind of some people may think it's a weird one, but okay, Ramondre Stevenson has taken over the New England backfield because he has looked absolutely incredible. He looks like a bell cow. He had 8 catches last week, and we'll get into that later. So what I want to see is Damian Harris traded to, and I can't believe I'm saying this because I love Kyle Pitts, but traded to the Atlanta Falcons because Arthur Smith clearly wants to run the ball 2,000 times. And Damian Harris would be the best pure runner on that team. He's better than Allgaier. He's better than Huntley. He's even better than Cordarrelle Patterson. As a pure runner out of the backfield, it would allow them to move Cordarrelle Patterson into more of a wide receiver role, kind of a hybrid role, because they'll use him out of the backfield as well. But give Damian Harris 15 carries a week and see what he does. Like I said, he's better than Allgaier. He's better than Huntley. And if Atlanta, as of right now, Atlanta's leading the division, that stupid NFC South that is so friggin' awful, they're leading it right now. And if they think that they're a playoff contender and they want to run the ball, they're going to need to add a running back, in my opinion. And I think Damian Harris fits kind of what they're doing. New England's clearly in free fall mode here. They're probably going to sell off some pieces. If they were smart, at least they would sell off pieces. I don't know if GM Bill Belichick is very smart, and we've had that conversation before. But that's the, I would like to see him go. And if it's not Atlanta, I would like to see him go to a team like Kansas City, because that is the exact type of running back that they need. If you look at what they have, like Isaiah Pacheco is he's a decent running back, but he's not as good as Damian Harris. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, not the guy that's going to give you 12 to 15 carries a week. We've already figured that out. And the same goes for Jerick McKinnon. So of those two teams, I mean, Atlanta seems like a more, a better possibility.
Yeah.
But Atlanta or Kansas City, I think, would be great landing spots for Damian Harris, who I believe is a free agent at the end of this year. So there's all the reason in the world for New England to trade him.
And they love doing that. We've seen them trade guys who are pending free agents time and time again. And I feel like more often than not, it works out in their favor. But then again, then every so often you have like a Chandler Jones who is going to make like $1 billion and still is pretty good in his next couple of stops and so on. Right. So I don't mind the trade. I think don't forget, this is a year after in 2021 where Damian Harris in 15 games, he had almost 1,000 yards rushing. I think he had 920 or 930 yards rushing was the number, and he had 15 touchdowns. 15! That's crazy. Yep. Like that, and this was a year where Ramondre Stevenson last year still was involved, but certainly not to this degree. And yeah, I think Damian Harris probably would be the best pure runner, like you're saying, on the Falcons. Like that, the Falcons are a team where they were down by multiple touchdowns more or less all game, and they refused to stop running the ball. Maybe I don't know if that's an indictment of Marcus Mariota, or if it's an indictment of Desmond Ridder and his preparation, or the their willingness, let's say, to put him into a starting role, but boy, they will run that ball to the detriment of the team. And I mean, hey, much greater for your fantasy lineup, because if you have like Allgaier or something, you're feeling good about it. But for now, at least, I think Damian Harris would be a good one. I'm going to wrap up on this one. Kareem Hunt is someone who we've talked about getting traded a lot. And actually this morning, I believe it was Adam Schefter saying that the Browns are now willing to grant Kareem Hunt's trade request, which I thought was interesting because they were clearly already shopping him, but now they're already willing to grant his trade request. I guess that means if they find a suitable trade, like the agent and the player find a trade, that's not just coming from the team, then I guess they'll trade him. I don't know. It was a weird kind of situation, but either way, it certainly feels like Kareem Hunt, with Nick Chubb completely taking over that backfield, D'Ernest Johnson sitting in the wings there, so they need a backup running back or a 1B to Chubb's 1A, then there's certainly a guy waiting. So Kareem Hunt seems expendable. Kareem Hunt, I think he's talented enough that I think he can be the complementary piece to an offense that is already ready to win the Super Bowl. And I wouldn't mind seeing Kareem Hunt on the Bills. I've harped many a time to you, Matt, how the Bills want to see sustained success in the postseason, like not just from a fantasy perspective, but from a real life perspective as well. If they want to see any kind of success, they have to use the running game, not through the legs of Josh Allen, a little bit more. And I think Kareem Hunt might do that. If you do a trade like this, Browns to Bills, it probably means one of, I don't know, Devin Singletary or perhaps even James Cook is going back the other way. But Kareem Hunt, I think, on the Bills would be a pretty nice complimentary piece.
He definitely fits what they're trying to do. And they don't really have a runner like him. I mean, Singletary's been fine, but Kareem Hunt is a better fit, just because he's kind of a bigger back, and I feel like he can take on a little bit better of a, like he can run early downs a lot better than Devin Singletary, and I think that's a good fit. The other guy who I'm still surprised that is being talked about moving, that would also be a fit, much like Kareem Hunt, because he can catch passes as well as run on early downs, is Alvin Kamara, who at one point was rumored that Howie Roseman was kind of sniffing around the Saints for Alvin Kamara, which I was like, haven't you done enough, Howie Roseman? I mean, can you fleece anybody else during this trade window? But yeah, Hunt is a nice fit in Buffalo, and you know, it would be a hell of a, I don't want to call it a revenge game, because what he did to get cut from Kansas City was really stupid, but it would be a very interesting storyline if the Bills and Chiefs were to meet up along the way as they both push for another Super Bowl. Well, in the case of the Chiefs, another Super Bowl, and the Bills just to get back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think it just goes back to, again, if they only traded like a draft pick for Kareem Hunt, that would actually be a fantasy nightmare, I think, because then you're trying to parse out Devin Singletary, maybe to a certain extent Moss, maybe to a certain extent James Cook, and then Hunt as well. It's not ideal, but I think if you're sending back a running back to be a piece for the Browns or someone else you're going to trade, or you release someone and it's really just Hunt and one or two other guys, then I think, ultimately speaking, I think Hunt would be a fantastic fit just to help out old Josh Allen, who has been absolutely tremendous and is, I don't know, probably the MVP so far this year. So that kind of does it for our fantasy, our preferred fantasy destinations come the trade deadline on Tuesday, November 1st. You want to text us your preferred fantasy destinations for any of your players, you can do so at 590-590, name and location, or if you still want to get in your fantasy football start sit questions for week 8, you can do so at 590-590 as well. We'll read your text in about 40 minutes. Before we take a break, Matt, let's get to the first start sit, just because it's the London game. It's the earliest game of the day, happening in about, I don't know, like let's say 70 minutes, just about over an hour from now. And of course, it's Broncos at Jaguars in London. And I'm not sure. Have you seen if Russell Wilson has officially been activated? I mean, I'm not starting him. He is active.
He's
okay.
Active.
I'm not starting him regardless, because my trust has been broken in Russell Wilson. I got to see him perform and see him perform against a bad defense like the Jaguars before I can actually go out and say, okay, I feel good about starting Russell Wilson. Some people may have no choice, because I'm sure, especially in Superflex 2 QB leagues, this may be the case. But in 1 QB leagues, I certainly hope you have a better option than Russell Wilson. But everyone else in that offense, unfortunately, is we talked about this the last couple of weeks, has been downgraded because of the unstable quarterback play, right? Like Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Greg Dulcich, they're all, let's say, WR3s, flexes, tight end 2s, because you just can't rely on their production right now.
No, you can't. Jeudy's been the most reliable of everyone in that offense. He has 53 or more yards in his last 4 weeks. He's, for me, like the wide receiver 3, like you mentioned, against the Jags. But Courtland Sutton has been held to 23 or yards or less in consecutive weeks. And I know Brett Rypien started last week, but Russell Wilson was the week before, and it wasn't much better. I'm not really comfortable starting Sutton in anything more than a flex play at this point. And of course, playing the Jags this week, he's going to go off just because that's how things work. But, and as for the running back situation, like Mike Boone lands on the IR, so it's one less person in the backfield.
Yeah.
But the guy who's been the most productive with the ball in his hands has been Latavius Murray. And I don't have any faith in starting Latavius Murray. So for me, like if you're in a pinch, you're starting Gordon or Murray in a flex and you pray that they get into the end zone. But other than that, I mean, there's nobody in that Denver offense that I'm really super excited about starting at this point.
You think KJ Hamler gets traded?
I do. I think a team like Dallas makes a lot of sense, because they've had, you know, Michael Gallup coming off the ACL hasn't been that great. What a surprise. A guy coming off an ACL injury has had some struggles early on. That's the biggest surprise ever, isn't it? And so I do think that he gets traded. And, you know, one thing that I did read about what teams are looking for everywhere, especially because of the way defenses have played this year, is everybody's looking for speed right now. And KJ Hamler has that in buckets. So I would expect that he gets dealt. I also think he gets dealt because it's just an easier deal to make in terms of salary and in terms of compensation. So I do think that he's gone. Is he going to get traded somewhere where it becomes fantasy relevant? Probably not. That's more of a good football move than a good fantasy move, I would think.
He's going to get traded to like the Carolina Panthers. That's gonna, you know what I mean? Like something, a team where you're kind of like,
or the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah. A team where you think to yourself, oh, this helps nobody. So I'm looking forward for that. There's going to be one trade where it's going to be the very first trade that happens between now and the deadline on Tuesday, and you're going to think, oh my gosh, it's happening. The trades are coming. And then it's going to be something like, yeah, Hamler to the Falcons. And And so that's going to be
great. Yay.
Yeah. The collective shrug for everyone in the fantasy community. Jag side of things in London this morning. Again, I think the biggest interest to me from this game, I would say, on the Jag side of thing, is what Travis Etienne Jr. looks like as the RB1 in this offense, and probably an overall RB2 on the week, because the Broncos defense is still decent against the run, all things considered. But he had 14 carries last week against the Giants. He turned that into 114 yards and a touchdown. He had a 2-point conversion and hauled in a reception for 5 yards. No more James Robinson. He has been traded to the New York Jets last week after Breece Hall tore his ACL and is out for the season. So It's Travis Etienne's backfield. I think that's the most interesting wrinkle to me out of this entire game today in London, just because I'm curious to see what the usage is for Etienne, because you're probably still, like, Christian Kirk is a slot receiver, so you're probably going to start him, you know, unless you have a lot of better options, you're going to start him on most days as a WR2, maybe WR3, high-end WR3. Maybe you'll start Evan Engram if you absolutely have to. He's a pretty steady target share in the last couple of games. I'm sure you're very pleased about that. But I think Travis Etienne, the Etienne situation is what interests me the most here.
I will say Evan Engram last week against the Giants did go for 4 catches for 67 yards. Yeah. I'm just saying. I said to start him. I'm just saying. No, but the Etienne thing is interesting because he was the better player than James Robinson. I like James Robinson. But Etienne is the better player. He's the more dynamic player. He can catch passes out of the backfield. He's that home run threat, much like I liken him a lot to like a DeAndre Swift. Like every time the ball is in his hands, he can score a touchdown, that type of player. Travis Etienne the last 3 weeks is averaging 7.9 yards per carry. Last time I checked, for those keeping score at home, that's ridiculous. Yeah. So he's been super effective with the ball in his hands. It's a much tougher matchup this week. Like the Broncos aren't as good against running backs as they are against quarterbacks and wide receivers, because they're allowing the fewest points per game to quarterbacks and wide receivers. But they're you know, among the, you know, top third against running backs. So it is going to be a tough game. But I do think that where you see his value the most this week is catching passes, just because that Denver pass rush is really good. And I think that's how they're going to be able to avoid the blitz, is running Travis Etienne on some screens, get him in the open field, and that's how they're going to score some points today. As for Lawrence and Kirk, I don't really trust them a whole heck of a lot today, but I do agree with your sentiment. Like, Kirk is probably a wide receiver 3 this week. I wouldn't be starting Trevor Lawrence in single QB leagues, especially because the bye weeks, there's only 2 this week, and I know they're really good quarterbacks, but there's probably better options out there for you to go out and start somebody else. I'm curious to see how Jamichael Hasty gets worked in, because the coaching staff did talk about getting him some touches and getting him some carries in the quote-unquote James Robinson role. But we're talking, you know, before last week against the Giants, that was almost a 50-50 split.
Yeah.
So if they're still going to give a 50-50 split with Etienne and Hasty, then Hasty is a guy that you should probably go get on your waiver wire and just... You should also get him because he's the handcuff to Travis Etienne, and he's looked decent in the time that he's been able to get the ball. So super interested to see what Hasty's usage is, but this does really feel like Travis Etienne to the moon, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. I'm glad I drafted him in like the 5th round or something this past season, and I'm happy that it certainly feels like he is going to be used a little bit more. I think it's what everyone has been waiting for. And I mean, week 8, you kind of hope it had come a little earlier than week 8, but hey, better late than never. And yeah, the Jamichael Hasty thing, again, he's not a start candidate by any means in any way, shape or form, but he is, especially if you have longer benches, I would think that Hasty is someone you can at least roster for now, just in case. But again, he is just a handcuff. So I think that probably depends on like your personal philosophy towards rostering handcuffs, because I know some people are really into that, and some people are not so much, right? So, but Jamichael Hasty and his usage today with Travis Etienne is going to be very, very interesting. But that Broncos at Jaguars game is the 9:30 Eastern game, 9:30 a.m. Eastern game, so that goes in about an hour's time. So wanted to get that start sit in early, because there's going to be a lot of questions. Again, text us at 590-590. I actually see a bunch of Broncos-Jags questions in the text line here already, so we'll answer all of those in about half an hour's time before the games get going. And any ones we don't answer, we will answer on the air before 1 p.m. Eastern, when the rest of the Week 8 games get going. But we're going to step aside, take a very quick break, and when we come back, we will get to the rest of your start sits and, of course, your texts at the top of the hour as well. But you're listening to The Fantasy Show, Show and Matt, on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali, Matt Marchese alongside you. Week 8 in the NFL is here. Actually going to get started a little earlier than usual with the London game between the Broncos and the Jaguars, which goes in just about an hour's time. But we're here to get to all of your news and notes, injuries, start sits, and, of course, your questions at the People's Text Line. 590-590 is where you can text us, name and location, please. You can also tweet us as well at SNS Alley with two L's, at MattyMar89, at The Fantasy Show on Twitter. We'll answer all of your questions at the top of the hour. But, Matt, let's continue with our start sits. Panthers at Falcons is next, and PJ Walker continues to be my favorite story of the Carolina Panthers. I know for fantasy purposes, the most important player on this offense right now is actually Deontay Foreman, and we'll get to him in a sec, but XFL legend PJ Walker. I gotta say, that Baker Mayfield is PJ Walker's backup. Does not speak very well for him, but I am very excited for a good old PJ.
Yeah, and again, for fantasy purposes, but for real life purposes, and a guy that's really kind of fought to keep a job and goes out and beats, and we can say what we want about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but goes out and beats the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it's a great story. And you know what? If you would have gone out and looked at last week, two former XFL quarterbacks, PJ Walker and Taylor Heineke, beat Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. That tells you everything you need to know about Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady at this point.
What team did Taylor Heineke play for in the XFL? I know PJ Walker played for the Houston Roughnecks, but I always forget what team, whatever team Heineke played for. I say this as someone who has unironically watched a decent amount of XFL football. I'm literally wearing right now, I know you can't see it, but I'm wearing right now my XFL Tampa Bay Vipers hat, which is one of my favorite hats. So I'm all in on the XFL, Matt. Even though it may never be relevant, I'm all in on the XFL.
Yeah, I got a... I'm just looking through Austin. Our op just said that he was actually allocated to the St. Louis Battlehawks.
Oh, okay. There you go.
For the 2020 XFL draft. He did not see the field during the season, has no recorded statistics, and had his contract terminated when the league suspended operations, but he was a part of the XFL. So having said all that, it was a nightmare for those two quarterbacks last week. Now, moving on to the rest of the Carolina Panthers, DJ Moore's kind of working himself back into the lineup here. He has at least 7 targets in his last 4 games, and Atlanta's defense has been bad across the board. I dare I say that DJ Moore is in the wide receiver 3 conversation this week, because I do believe, and Chuba Hubbard is out, so this is Deonta Foreman's backfield, and I can't remember the guy's first name. Blackshear is his last name.
Okay.
And I'm saying that I can't remember it, even though he was on the Bills in the preseason. But this is Raheem Blackshear. Sorry. I apologize to Raheem Blackshear and his family for not remembering his first name, because, you know, I should know that. But this is Deonta Foreman's backfield. I'm assuming that Raheem Blackshear gets some usage, because does this game not feel like a game that there's going to be 35 rushing attempts from each team at least?
It'll be 35 rushing attempts from each team, and the one touchdown that the Panthers score will be scored by Tommy Tremble. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, that was something last week, wasn't it?
Also,
that was something.
A fantastic name. A fantastic name, and last week was like National Tight Ends Day or something, which, of course, is like a wholly invented day by the NFL, and I think it's funny that of all the tight ends that played at the same time last week, like Dalton Schultz and... I don't know, like George Kittle and the rest of these guys, the first tight end to catch a touchdown last week was Tommy Tremble. The NFL social media team was probably like, oh, damn you, Tommy. Damn you, Tremble.
Former Notre Dame great Tommy Tremble. My boy, Tommy Tremble.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, this is what I wrote in my notes. This game could see 6,000 rushing attempts between the two teams.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's where we're at.
On the other side of the matchup, you mentioned that the Deonta Foreman, it is his backfield. I would recommend starting him maybe as a low-end RB2, given how many times they're probably going to throw the ball today, or run the ball today. And on the Falcon side of things, yeah, Allgaier, he's going to be running the ball a lot. I'm not sure how much value Allgaier has beyond this week, because I believe Cordarrelle Patterson is going to be returning, or at least he is eligible to return, I should say, next week. So if that's the case, then I imagine he is going to be worked right back into the game plan because he was a heavy part of it right away. But even if he does return next week, maybe they ease him back into it after spending some time off the field. And if that's the case, then Allgaier will still have some value. So I would say Allgaier is like an RB3 flex play to me this week specifically. But going forward, you should still roster him. Like, don't drop him as soon as Patterson returns.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty accurate. Allgaier is probably the only guy that I could start. I mean, you could roll with Huntley if you're really desperate, but you know, I'm sitting Kyle Pitts, I'm sitting Drake London. I can't do it anymore. Marcus Mariota has thrown for more than 147 yards in his last four games. He hasn't thrown for more than 147 yards his last four games. So basically, if you have to start Marcus Mariota, you're hoping that he throws a couple of touchdowns and runs one in, because the yardage is just not there to even get you any sort of a floor. And that just goes, and that just plays into the narrative that you can't start Kyle Pitts and Drake London at this point. It's really a shame, because Arthur Smith is ruining fantasy football. He's absolutely ruining fantasy football by not giving Kyle Pitts. Like, they drafted Kyle Pitts, I think, fourth overall. And he had such a great rookie year last year. And Arthur Smith was the head coach. I know Matt Ryan was a quarterback, who we'll get to later, which was probably the most shocking news of the week. But, like, they're not throwing Kyle Pitts the ball. The man is a unicorn. And you are not using him at all. Arthur Smith should be sent into the sun, the fantasy sun, with all this nonsense that he is providing. And having said that, like I said, they're going to rush the ball 45 times this week and not even blink an eye, because they're somehow leading the division, which makes no sense as well.
Yeah, this game today could very well end up being a pretty important game for the division in the end. So I expect it to be a relatively tight one. Let's continue here. Bears at Cowboys. And again, your favorite guy, Justin Fields. I think the Patriots defense from last Monday night to the Cowboys defense, I'm sure, is no easy task for any team, but the Bears handled the Patriots last week pretty easily. And I don't expect that to necessarily be the case this week against the Cowboys defense that has been very, very, very good so far, especially fantasy-wise. They've been a pretty fantasy-relevant defense so far this season. Having said that, I think Justin Fields probably QB2 so far. You know, looking at a Cowboys defense that doesn't have a lot of injuries, they've been a thorn in the side of a lot of different offenses and a lot of different-looking offenses this year, too. So I have no reason to believe they will not be prepared for Justin Fields and the Bears, which leads me to sort of downgrade all of the various options here. David Montgomery, Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet. I don't know that you're really starting Cole Kmet or Equanimeous St. Brown or like Dante Pettis really in any leagues, unless you're like in a 16 to 18 team league. But beyond that, the most obvious plays here are David Montgomery and Justin Fields. And even those guys get a bit of a downgrade against the Cowboys.
Yeah, and I think you could throw Khalil Herbert in that mix as well. Like, he did score the touchdown last week. He's been pretty good. I mean, if I had to choose between Khalil Herbert and, you know, Caleb Huntley, I'm absolutely leaning Khalil Herbert. So those are the types of decisions that you have to make. But, you know, it's a shame, really, that Justin Fields has to go up against a defense like this, because he's really starting to get into his zone. I mean, the rushing floor, I think, will be there for him, because he's just going to have to run for his life against that Dallas pass rush. Darnell Mooney is a kind of a punt play in the flex just because of said matchup. But I still think we see Justin Fields in double-digit points this week. And I do have him as kind of a mid-range QB2 this week, and only because the rushing floor is so good. He's just been – he's an athletic freak. He's a – you know, he's been able to evade pressure, and there's been a lot of it. Like, I think he's the most pressured quarterback in the NFL through the first 7 weeks. So he's – You start him, but you start him with caution, because the floor can be kind of low, but I think the ceiling can be really high, again, just because of the potential for the rushing numbers and the potential for rushing touchdowns.
And yeah, that's the thing, right? If you're looking at potential points for Justin Fields, you have to remember that the Dallas defense is seventh best in passing yards allowed per game, and they're tied with a bunch of teams at fourth with seven interceptions on the season. So if you're thinking about value for the Justin Field truthers like Matt out here, you're looking at the rushing output and not necessarily the passing output. I suppose, look, with any game, there's always a chance that, you know, someone like falls down and he catches a long touchdown. Like Darnell Mooney catches a long touchdown from Fields. But I think you're more betting on the rushing output being there if you're starting Justin Fields today. I think the most interesting offensive player fantasy-wise in this entire game on either side, Cowboys and Bears, is on the Cowboys side for me, Matt, because Ezekiel Elliott, I think, has been held out of practice basically all week. He's been doubtful all week. And when players are doubtful, I feel like that basically means that they're not going to play. Like on bar, and even if he did play, you're not going to start Ezekiel Elliott because he didn't practice literally all week. And that basically means that, you know, he's probably going to be used as a decoy at best. There's a chance he could miss multiple weeks, which, if that being the case, you are loving if you're owner of Tony Pollard, because Tony Pollard immediately shoots up to probably being a high-end RB2, because you know they're going to hand him the ball a lot. Dak Prescott's presence and CeeDee Lamb's presence and Dalton Schultz's presence basically means that the teams can't stack the box against Tony Pollard, and he's been pretty efficient already this season. So if Zeke plays regardless, Tony Pollard, I think, is one of my favorite plays this week.
Oh, for sure. I really like Tony Pollard, and I'm ashamed to say that I did trade him away in our work league. Because I desperately
What was the trade? Needed, I don't even remember. What was that trade?
I desperately needed wide receiver help. I traded Tony Pollard, and I can't even remember the receiver. It was just some random receiver. I don't even remember. But I traded him for George Pickens and James Cook. And it's not a horrible deal because George Pickens has been great, and I needed, you know, I needed the wide receiver help. But this is the reason why you drafted Tony Pollard, was for weeks like this. He's already started to not take over the backfield, but he's certainly got himself into a closer to an even split. And with that, in an offense that they like to run the ball a little bit more, now that it's his backfield with no Zeke, I mean, it's wheels up. He's the more athletic of the two. He's certainly the more dynamic in terms of, you know, that home run ability. Zeke is just, he's lost a step. But the question becomes, and I think it's always been the question, is how good is Tony Pollard in pass protection to keep him on the field? Ezekiel Elliott is one of the better pass protecting running backs in the league, and that's why he's on the field a lot. So if Tony Pollard can hold up his end of the bargain type thing, then he's going to be on the field a lot. And that means, you know, good things for him this week. The Bears are still a tough matchup defensively, but they certainly have allowed the big play. And I think that Tony Pollard kind of fits into what they're going to try and do this week. I do expect like back end to mid-range RB1 numbers for Tony Pollard this week.
Yeah, they love using him. And they love using him in the passing game as well. Catches a decent amount of passes from Dak Prescott. And I'll say this, Dak did not look, you know, all the way back last week. So maybe that's a little different, which keeps defenses honest here. So I am looking forward to seeing the usage of Tony Pollard today. Let's boogie through a couple more here before we take a break, Matt. Dolphins at Lions is our next one here. Raheem Mostert looking very good. As long as he is healthy, I think you have to be starting Raheem Mostert in basically every league. He has been fantastic. Chase Edmonds has been absolutely a non-factor. He has been completely disappeared by the Dolphins themselves, much less opposing defenses. So Raheem Mostert, probably an RB2. Tua, honestly, is especially against the Lions defense, Tua Tagovailoa to me this weekend, Matt, might actually be a QB1. I know I say QB2 for a lot of guys. We were just talking about Fields and even Dak Prescott. Honestly, Tua, maybe a lower-end QB1, but given that he has looked decent at times when he has been in there and healthy, and he's playing the Lions defense, which gives up a 22-plus points per game to opposing fantasy QBs, I think you can feel pretty good about starting basically most Miami Dolphins, right? Tua, Raheem Mostert, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. Mike Gesicki might be the only guy who I'm not super confident about, but basically everyone else, you can feel good about starting them.
Yeah, I would be starting all those guys. I probably have Tua higher this week just because of the matchup. And I think Miami is just a tad overrated. I think they win games in spite of their coach, which was the case last week. But I look at this Dolphins offense, and with all those playmakers, yeah, you're going to start all of them. Tua's probably, I got him like mid-range QB1 just because the Lions have been so bad. against basically everybody. I mean, they were better against Dallas last week, but you know, you talked about Dak not looking like he was all the way back coming off the shoulder injury. That's kind of what I expected. But Tua, this is his second game coming back from the concussion. And I do believe, and that was such a weird game last week where they scored a bunch of points in the first half and you went, oh my God, what kind of happened here? And then they didn't score any points in the second half. Yeah. And it was a complete and utter disaster. So I like Tua in the spot. You know, you've probably got Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle as both as wide receiver ones this week. That I think they're both in for big weeks. And Mostert, like you said, as long as he's healthy, he's a must start every week because he's the one who's getting the majority of the workload here.
Yeah, look, for Hill and Waddle, Hill leads the league in targets with 78. And with Jalen Waddle, even he had that massive performance back in week two. It is his points total is boosted a little bit by massive nights like that. But at the same time, Waddle has finished with 15 or more points in 4 of 7 weeks, which is absolutely tremendous. So I think if he's healthy, you're starting Jalen Waddle and you're starting Tyreek Hill. You're starting both of them basically every week. And on the Lions side of things, I believe DeAndre Swift is on track to play. All signs pointing him to play. Actually playing later today. If that's the case, then probably a mid-tier RB2. I would be relatively cautious with DeAndre Swift just because I think he's basically their star player. And if that's the case, you want to see if they ease him back in. I mean, if he plays, you unfortunately have to start him. So even if he is kind of a decoy out there, I think it's unfortunate because he has to be in your lineup. If he's playing, no one's going to bench him because he has been so talented. But that's the conundrum with someone like Swift. It kind of, unfortunately, applies to Amon-Ra St. Brown as well, because you're not sure how much they're going to use him in these kinds of situations. I tend to err on the side of if they play, you start them. But I'm curious where you fall on things like that.
I think they're both startable. I'm just curious to see what DeAndre Swift's workload is coming back from the shoulder injury. He was off the injury report as of midweek. So that to me means he was probably really close to starting last week. And they just said, you know what? It's Dallas. It's a tough defense. Let's just give him another week and then we'll bring him back against Miami. The Amon-Ra St. Brown thing is just really, you know, not, I don't want to say bizarre, because it's almost as if they've gone the complete opposite direction in terms of how they manage concussions with after what happened with Tua, because he sat out the rest of that game and didn't have a concussion, even though they said that it was a concussion at first, and then he didn't have a concussion, and he's somehow been in concussion protocol all week, and it looks like he's going to play today without a concussion. So what exactly are we doing here? And I think that's kind of the tricky thing. That's with every player now. As soon as their head hits the turf, you can almost guarantee that they're going to come out of the game. So I'm starting Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm starting DeAndre Swift. I'm still also starting Jamal Williams because we don't know what that workload is for DeAndre Swift coming back. I still think that Jamal Williams is in for double digit touches this week. He's probably in the 12 to 15 range. And I think Swift is probably in the 10 to 12 range, but we'll see how they both get worked in. But this was an offense that when both guys were healthy at the beginning of the season, that both were startable. So I think that trend continues.
Yeah, maybe some sun in the forecast for the sun god. We'll see what it looks like down in Detroit. They're also playing a team from the Sunshine State. So perhaps maybe that bodes well for old.
I want to say that the sun has aligned, but the stars have aligned in this one.
I am looking forward to seeing if he is okay, because when he has been healthy, he has been their top receiver. The Dolphins allow an above average 22 points per game. To wide receivers. So I think he goes. I think you start him if he does go. The nice thing is that this is one of the earlier games, so you can make that decision, relatively speaking, earlier on before games start at 1 p.m. Eastern. Let's do one more before we split here and do the text line questions at the top of the hour. Cards at Vikings. Look, you're starting most people from the Cards on a regular basis, like Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, who looked fantastic in his return from a suspension last week. So you're starting both those guys. James Conner is not playing, which means that I think you can get at least one more week of Eno Benjamin as a bona fide RB1 or maybe a high-end RB2 with a chance for RB1 numbers. He ran really hard last week, so I think you can at least look forward to more or similar-ish production from the Arizona Cardinals running back for at least one more week before it becomes more of a fantasy quagmire.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I think you have to start him with James Conner out. Hopkins locked into high-end wide receiver two, low-end wide receiver numbers, just strictly based on volume. And with the idea of him catching a touchdown also thrown in there, you can make the case that he is like a mid-range wide receiver one. They didn't like to throw the ball to anybody else but DeAndre Hopkins, so that was pretty evident. Minnesota giving up the 6th most points per game to tight end, so I like Zach Ertz this week. He was kind of a dud last week, like basically everybody but Eno Benjamin and DeAndre Hopkins. So I do like Zach Ertz in this one. Other than that, I mean, Kyler Murray, yes, but I'm not comfortable starting anybody, even a guy like Rondale Moore at this point.
From the Viking side of things, too, I mean, you don't need us to tell you to start Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson on a week-to-week basis, coming off their bye, no less. So you're starting those guys every week. Kirk Cousins, actually, funnily enough, I know he doesn't run around the field a lot. Like, he doesn't have exactly like rushing output like a Jalen Hurts or a Josh Allen or Kyler Murray himself. But he is going against the Cards defense that allows the 6th most fantasy points to opposing QBs. So again, lower end QB one, probably sneakily for someone like good old Captain Kirk. But the question for me when it comes to the Vikings are, do you start Adam Thielen or not? And I think Adam Thielen, for me, I rank him as a flex play against a not the greatest Cards defense in the world. So, you know, I feel like we might see a lot of Thielen questions. I feel okay about starting Thielen given the matchup, but there's also a real chance a lot of the yardage just goes to Jefferson and Cook. So it's hard to parse out who will get yardage and attempts and so on, targets after those two guys. But still, Thielen, I got ranked as a flex for this week against the Cards defense.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Adam Thielen in 4 games against the Cardinals in his career has averaged 6.5 targets, 5.8 receptions, 58.5 receiving yards, and 0.8 touchdowns. And he was a dud the last time that they played. Well, not really a dud. Like, he scored a touchdown, and I think he only had like 38 yards. But they look for him in the end zone, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I believe that his red zone targets, or at least inside the 10, are very similar to Justin Jefferson. So I'm good with starting Adam Thielen this week. And I hate to put this one out there, but I think I'm good with starting Irv Smith this week as well. And I feel like we could do this with anybody on any given week. If a tight end plays the Cardinals, you have to consider starting them because they're so horrible against opposing tight ends. It just never ends. It feels like every week they give up a touchdown to a tight end. So if you're in a situation where you have Travis Kelce and he's on a bye and you're looking for a tight end and Irv Smith is on the wire, go pick up Irv Smith because I do think that there's some high upside there. The floor is low just because of how much they give the ball to Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook, and you can even throw Adam Thielen in the mix there. But I think that the ceiling can be pretty high for Irv Smith just because of how awful Arizona is against opposing tight ends.
Look, I've been a pretty heavy Irv Smith truther over the last couple of seasons. So it pleases me to hear you say that. And I'm glad we are not talking about, let's say, Evan Engram, which I'm glad.
Whoa, 10 points in full PPR last week, show. Come on, don't hate on my guy.
I'll never start Evan Engram. I'll never do it.
If there's a fire.
No, I'll never do it. Oh, boy. Okay, let's take a very quick break. When we come back, we'll get to the text line questions. I actually see a couple of tight end questions here, so we'll answer all of those straight ahead. 590-590 is where you can text us. Again, the People's Text Line coming up straight ahead on The Fantasy Show. You're listening to The Fantasy Show with Show and Matt on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is The Fantasy Show with Show Ali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali, Matt Marchese alongside you. Second hour of the program this Sunday morning. Of course, we're here to give you all the news and notes across week 8 in the NFL. Injuries, news and notes, start, sit, questions, and of course, your questions at the People's Text Line, 590-590, name and location. Please, you can also tweet us at SNS Alley with 2 L's, at MattyMar89, and at The Fantasy Show. But Matt, ready to get some texts this Sunday morning?
Let's do it.
And now, your fantasy questions on the People's Text Line.
All right, you guys know the drill. 590-590, name and location. If we don't answer your questions on the air, we will answer all of your questions off the air before 1 p.m. goes. I will try and scan the text line here because they kind of read them as they come in. So I'll try and scan them and see if we can get to any of the London game questions, Jags, Broncos questions, before we get to anything else. But I'm just going to scan real quickly here. Let's start with this one, just because it was the first one that came in. This one's from FaZe in Peterborough, right, Matt? He says, thanks for the help every week, guys. Really appreciate it. He's 6-1 so far, which is really cool. So congratulations.
Hey,
yeah, that's great. That's great after 7 weeks. Full PPR league. Couple of questions this week. So he describes his team. WR1 is Diggs. WR2 is AJ Brown. RB1 is Kenneth Walker. RB2 is Damian Pierce. So that's a pretty good, you know, four guys you're starting. He has Eckler on bye. So he leaves his flex decision this week to CeeDee Lamb, Tyler Lockett, Michael Pittman Jr., or DeAndre Swift. So, and he has another question about tight ends, so, but we'll do that one first. So a flex question between CeeDee Lamb in a full PPR league, Lamb, Lockett, Pittman Jr., or Swift?
I like Swift out of all those. And the reason is Tyler Lockett's a game time decision, and he had a hamstring injury and then a rib issue, I think. So that is a stay away for me. Like, I'm benching him in multiple leagues just because I don't trust it. Also because Swift plays at 1 o'clock and Lockett plays at in the 4:25 right. slot. So I'm gonna go with DeAndre Swift in that one. And Michael Pittman Jr., just so many questions just with the quarterback situation with Sam Ellinger there. I don't know where it fit. I go with Swift there, even over CeeDee Lamb as well.
And then I might go Lamb over Swift just because I'm curious. I think you're right in terms of he wasn't on the injury report all week, so it probably means he's okay. But I think against the Bears, I probably will go CeeDee Lamb, even though Dak looked a little iffy last weekend. But it's close. It's pretty close. It's for sure either Lamb or Swift because, yeah, Pittman with the QB change and then Lockett with the injury and playing in the later time slot. I think you probably don't feel great about that. He also says he lost David Njoku at tight end. He's out for a couple of weeks at the very least. So his backup is between Dalton Schultz or Hayden Hurst. Taysom Hill or Greg Dulcich. Dulcich Dileche is on waivers. So where do you think? I kind of like the idea with no Jamar Chase, and we'll talk about the Jamar Chase stuff, I think, when we get to the Bengals in a little bit here. But when we get there, I think Hayden Hurst might be a primary beneficiary. Certainly Higgins and Boyd as well. But Hurst might not be a bad option here. I think I like Hurst for FaZe here.
He's not a bad option. I tend to lean Dalton Schultz. There, you know, the Dallas, I can't remember which of their backup tight ends caught a touchdown last week, but that was a Dalton Schultz touchdown, basically. And Dalton Schultz just wasn't on the field because he's coming back from the injury. So I like Dalton Schultz with the rapport he has with Dak Prescott. We talked about this last week. Dak will be better this week. I also think that Dalton Schultz will be better. So I'll fire up Dalton Schultz in that one.
Dalton Schultz, you go Schultz, I go Hurst. I see another one here also. On the text line again, 590-590, defense question. We've got a lot of defense questions, which is kind of why I kind of like these ones. Right now, I have Atlanta, but I don't feel comfortable with them. I can pick up the Washington defense, the Jacksonville defense, or the Bengals defense. I mean, I don't know if any of those four are, like, the best options, personally. I guess you could stick with Atlanta and hope they turn the ball over for P.J. Walker, but I don't know. They're all pretty kind of samey to me.
Yeah, they're about the same. To be honest with you, the team that I would look at this week is probably the Houston Texans defense. If they're available, that's who I would go out and pick up. I mean, Washington gets Sam Ellinger as well, but the Texans get Malik Willis in his first start. And that would be, so FaZe, if you're listening, I would, if the Texans are available, that's who I would go pick up. But I don't mind Atlanta's defense. Atlanta's defense has been able to score points despite, you know, them giving up a ton across the board. Like, if you're in a league that isn't punitive towards yards against, and it's just pretty much a standard defensive scoring, I actually don't hate Atlanta against the Panthers this week.
Yeah, it's definitely not a bad play. And Atlanta Falcons have been, just generally speaking, from top to bottom, have been probably better than we all expected. Let's continue the text line questions here. Juan from Richmond Hill, two questions, half point PPR league. So this one does involve the London game. Tyler Boyd or Christian Kirk as my WR2? Then he has a flex question as well. But Boyd or Kirk in a half-point PPR league?
I like Tyler Boyd this week. We talked about him a bit last week, and I'll give some numbers on where Tyler Boyd is at right now, mm-hmm. and I'm very stunned by that. But we'll get to that when we get to the game. But I like Boyd over Kirk just because of the matchup. And Christian Kirk going up against that Denver defense, especially how they've been against opposing quarterbacks and wide receivers, I'd be staying away if I have Boyd as an option.
Juan also wants to know, and again, in the same half-point PPR league, another, or I guess it's another league, but I assume it's a half-point PPR league. Damian Pierce, DJ Moore, or again, Tyler Boyd as flex. I feel it's hard to bench Damian Pierce, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. It's just, you go with the guy that's going to get more volume. I would assume he's going to get more volume, although last week was really weird. There's no Nico Collins. Brandon Cooks is the only guy, really, that they're going to throw the ball to. Hey, maybe they'll throw to Jordan Akins again. I don't know. But Damian Pierce is locked in for 15 touches a week. I don't know how you don't start him. And the Titans haven't been great defensively this year, so I'll lean with Damian Pierce.
I see another one here. I'm just scanning for as many of the London questions as possible because that game goes in like 15, 20 minutes. This one is from Geppetto in Alberta. Appreciate you waking up early for us. A half PPR, two leagues. Actually, pretty similar questions to Juan's question. First one, pick two of three. Christian Kirk, Tyler Boyd, or Terry McLaurin? So again, this is a half-point PPR league. Kirk, Boyd, McLaurin. And we're basically benching one of these guys.
Yeah, I'd be benching Kirk in this one. Terry McLaurin, what did we talk about? Terry McLaurin with Taylor Heinicke. That's the recipe for success, apparently, in Washington with Terry McLaurin. I'm going with Terry, I'm going with Boyd, and I'm sitting Kirk. Again, this is just matchup-based, and Tyler Boyd's been really good, and Terry McLaurin was really good last week with Taylor Heinicke as the quarterback.
In the second one as well, he had two leagues questions here, and this is a simpler one. Who you're starting between, and again, half-point PPR, between DJ Moore or Christian Kirk?
I think I lean DJ Moore. A better matchup against Atlanta. There's not going to be a lot of situations where I'm starting Christian Kirk this week. I'm going to be honest.
That's fair. So you're going Kirk. Okay, you're benching Kirk in League One and you're benching Kirk in League Two. Actually, a pretty easy one. Let's see here. I see a couple of ones. Okay, Robbie. So Robbie from Cayuga wants to know, Atlanta defense or the Denver defense?
I don't know how you don't start the Denver defense. They've just been so good across the board. The pass rush is really starting to come around. I think it's a low-scoring game, and I think they get to Trevor Lawrence a bunch and force a couple of turnovers, so I would go with Denver.
Robbie also wanted to know tight end question. We actually got a lot of tight end questions this week. Probably because Kelsey's on a bye, and then also because Njoku has been injured. I think that one of those two situations probably affecting a lot of people. So Robbie also wants to know, Robert Tonyan, who plays the Bills later tonight, or Juwan Johnson? And I believe the Saints play the Raiders later today as well. So Juwan Johnson or Robert Tonyan?
So Juwan Johnson has the better matchup, but because they're later, I believe that the Raiders-Saints game is a later start, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going with... Actually, no, that's a 1 o'clock start, so I lied. If Adam Trautman is playing, then I would lean Robert Tonyan. But if Adam Trautman is out, which there is a chance that he is out, then I would probably lean Robert Tonyan in that one.
Okay, so only if Trautman does not play, you're going to start Juwan Johnson.
Yeah, like he's questionable. He's got the ankle injury. And actually... Yeah, that's how I would approach it. Just because Trautman tends to be on the field a lot, he will have his ankle heavily taped up if he does play, but it's hard to trust Juwan Johnson if Troutman's there.
Robin Whitby, the Chase injury is killing me. Do I start DK Metcalf or do I sub in Slayton, Thornton, or Rondale Moore or Marvin Jones? I get the question for Marvin Jones. Personally, again, him being the number two receiver there in Jacksonville, I don't know. I never feel good about suggesting starting Marvin Jones these days. Having said that, I don't feel great about starting Rondale Moore or Tyquan Thornton. So I guess by process of elimination, that leaves Darius Slayton, but I'm not sure if you're just risking it with DK Metcalf, who looks like he is on track to play later today, despite the injury that knocked him out of last week's game, or do you go with any of those guys for Robin Whitby?
For me, it's start Metcalf if he's playing, just because he's a beast. And if he doesn't play, then it's Slayton over those guys. And I don't think it's remotely close, to be honest.
Yeah, Slayton, shockingly, like for an offense that just doesn't throw the ball a lot, he looks okay. Look, he doesn't look all that bad, all things considered. Again, we want, I think, like, from a fantasy hype train perspective, you kind of want, like, Wandale Robinson to be the guy. But Darius Slayton hasn't looked too terrible, I'd say, Matt.
No, he hasn't. I mean, that he was a little bit, he was aided a little bit by Wandale Robinson getting, I think he left the game around halftime. He had 8 targets and 6 catches for 50 yards at halftime. So he's the number one, but Darius Slayton also offers that downfield threat, and he's a bigger body who can go up and catch the ball. So that's why I would kind of lean Darius Slayton. Darius Slayton, I think, is a good receiver. I think he got knocked down the pecking order a little bit too harshly by Brian Daboll early in the season.
Let's do one more before we get back to the start sits. We'll do one last one here. Again, text line questions at 590-590, name and location. Willie from North York. Love the show, guys. Appreciate you texting us, Willie. He just wants to know, who should I start at tight end, Dulcich or Waller? London morning game for Dulcich Deleche. Thank you. That's Willie from North York.
Waller was questionable coming into this week. And if I'm not mistaken, the Saints have been terrible across the board. And actually, that's our next game, so I can just get this out of the way now. They've been terrible across the board, except for the tight end position. And with Waller already being banged up, and I don't even know if he's playing, man, I don't know if I take a chance with Darren Waller on the off chance that he doesn't play for a second straight week. I think I kind of lean Greg Dulcich here.
Greg Dulcich, eh? Who would have thought that's what... that's what you're recommending.
I know, right? I know. And I hope that's the right... I think that's the right answer, because I never like a guy with the questionable tag coming in also against the defense that's defended the position really well. So that's where I have my issues with that one.
All right, so Dulcich Deleche is our final text line question of the week. Again, 590-590 is where you can text us, name and location. And you can text us. There's still a lot of time to get us text line questions. And, of course, we will answer all of them off the air right after the show is done. We will reply to all your texts again at 590-590. You can also tweet us as well at SNS Ali with 2 L's, at MattyMar89, at The Fantasy Show, all on Twitter. But let's continue our start sits. And like you mentioned, our next one on the list is Raiders at Saints. You know, it's funny. Derek Carr was one of those guys I was sure, Matt, was going to be a top five QB this year because he had all these additional passing options. It turns out the identity of the Raiders team, even with Davante Adams, I know Hunter Renfro and Darren Waller have been banged up at different times this year. It turns out the identity of this team is to hand the ball to Josh Jacobs a million times a game, and turns out you'll probably have success. He has been very, very good. Honestly, Josh Jacobs, contract year Josh Jacobs is a real thing. He's a free agent after the end of the season, but he is a locked in, until something changes or until he gets injured or something, he is a locked in RB1 every single week. And because of that, it unfortunately means, I would still say Davante Adams, lower end WR1, but it basically downgrades all of the lesser quote unquote options, even if he's an RB1 and Adams is a WR1.
Well, I mean, when Josh Jacobs gets 3 touchdowns, how do you expect Derek Carr to put up fantasy numbers, right? Like, but Derek Carr had a not very good, I would call it a borderline disastrous week one against the Chargers. And since then, he has 7-1 touchdown to interception ratio. He's QB 14 in points per game in that time. And the Saints defense, just they're not the same. There's no Marshawn Lattimore. They called up Chris Harris from the practice squad for a second straight week. The Chris Harris, who was a dominant corner, who's now, you know, at the tail end of his career. Davante Adams is in a great spot, and Josh Jacobs is locked in as an RB1. Like, so there is a real chance that Josh Jacobs, if he stays healthy, ends up as the RB1 overall.
Ooh, that's crazy, eh? That's wild.
Crazy. And I wonder if they didn't give the fifth year option on him, because that was the big surprise, was that he didn't get the fifth year option from the Raiders, and they ended up wanting to see what he could do with Josh McDaniels in this offense. And dare I say that this bit them firmly in the ass, because now if they do want to re-sign Josh Jacobs, it's going to cost them a lot of money.
Yeah, I know running back contracts, we're at the point now where you never want to be caught having to give out just a giant contract to pretty really any running back, but Josh Jacobs has been absolutely phenomenal. So here, I think for Derek Carr's sake, I think you do want to have him re-sign there in the offseason, but yeah, he has been phenomenal this year. 20 carries, each one of the past 3 weeks, he actually sees a decent chunk of targets in the passing game as well. So you're starting him every week. You're starting Adams every week. If Waller doesn't play, I think Hunter Renfrow becomes a bit of a more attractive play. But if they both play, I think I'm just avoiding both of them because the passing volume outside of Devontae Adams just hasn't been there all that much. So I'm avoiding both those guys. For the Saints, it's actually a pretty short conversation these days because a lot of guys are just injured, right? Like no Michael Thomas, no Jarvis Landry. So I think that does mean you're basically locked into starting Chris Olave, a visit to the Olive Garden, Olave Garden on basically every week here. So he has been probably a mid-tier WR2 based on the amount of targets he gets. And it looks like Andy Dalton is going to be the starter going forward, at least, even if Jameis Winston is healthy. And so with that being the case, you can probably guess there's going to be a little more rushing work for Alvin Kamara. But with the lack of a gunslinging option at QB, it does kind of, it's like sort of downgrades everyone, although Chris Olave has been pretty good so far this season.
Yeah, I like Olave. I actually have him as a high end wide receiver too this week because of the matchup with the Raiders. I think the Raiders secondary is not very good, and they certainly haven't defended the position very well. Andy Dalton, just because of where this game is going, it does feel like a high scoring game. He does kind of have high end QB2 vibes this week. I don't think he's going to throw for, 300 plus yards like he did last week with three touchdowns, or maybe it was even four.
Four. It was four.
I think it was four. It was four. He had three interceptions. Oh yeah, that's right. But I think that Andy Dalton actually is in a good spot only because they're going to have to throw the ball a lot. The only way I don't like Andy Dalton this week is if you have a league where interceptions are more than -1 point. Like if you're in the -2, and I know some leagues and I'm in some where it's -3 for an interception, then I would be very, very weary about starting him. But other than that, I mean, and can we also get more work for Alvin Kamara, please? Like what are the Saints doing here? You have no Michael Thomas, you have no Jarvis Landry. They're getting the ball to Chris Olave. Can we get the ball more to Alvin Kamara, please? And maybe in the passing game a little bit? Like, let's get this train going here, Dennis Allen.
Yeah, Alvin Kamara is too talented to be used this relatively speaking sparingly. The Raiders also give up the 9th most fantasy points to running back, so you would hope Alvin Kamara has a decent game, but it's just the way the Saints have been. They're a strange, strange team. The way they have been this year with the injuries and the usage of Hill and all these different guys, I think you can't necessarily count on the usage of Alvin Kamara, although I'd like to say he is a bona fide RB1 in talent. I don't know if he is a bona fide RB1 in situation, which is a weird thing to say because he is very, very, very talented. And Taysom Hill, He kind of got like game scripted out last week because they were down big. So kind of, we knew he was a gimmick at best, but I, for example, am stuck in using Taysom Hill because I had David Njoku and other guys are on bye weeks and so on. So he's a boom or bust player, which I guess can be said for every tight end who's not named Travis Kelce and sort of Mark Andrews at this point. I know, although he's been banged up and did not have a great game this past week on Thursday Night Football, but I think most people questioning whether or not you should start Taysom Hill should just be prepared for like a game where you either get like 10 points or you get maybe like 0.5 points is where it is with Hill these days.
Yeah, you pray that he gets into the end zone, which is what I'm doing this week because I have to start him in our work league again. Kyle Pitts has been we're in for another disastrous week for Kyle Pitts.
Hey, real quick, I see a couple of text line questions here on the Denver game. Just I wanted to get these out of the way real quick, Matt, because the game starts in like less than 10 minutes. Two quick questions here on the text line. Jerry Jeudy or DK Metcalf, and then Kyle Pitts or Dulcich? Those are the two questions I see here.
I think I go Jeudy just because we don't know what Metcalf's status is. And I probably lean Greg Dulcich. Please send us your name and location next time because we like our fans on this show and we like to give shout-outs. But, yeah, I would go Jeudy and I would go Greg Dulcich.
Yeah, I agree with you on the Jeudy thing because he has been probably the most consistent option. And then on top of that, DK Metcalf has the injury. He probably will play. I don't know if you want to leave that up to the last minute necessarily, especially with the Seahawks playing one of the 4 p.m. Eastern games thereabouts, 4 p.m., 4:30 p.m. Eastern. So I don't know. I personally try and avoid injury situations if possible in the late games. If you're in a 1 o'clock game, then you can at least bench a guy and then fill in an option later, right? But if you're waiting on that, especially with a super early game, like the London game, which starts in like, 7 minutes, essentially, I think you're probably better off trying to take that out of the equation as much as possible. I just wanted to get to those before the game started. Let's continue with the start sits. Patriots at Jets. And look, I apart from the running backs in this one, and maybe Jacoby Myers, maybe, I'm not too confident in starting a lot of options on really either side now that Breece Hall is out, right? I mean, Mac Jones, QB2, he didn't look great, but obviously he wasn't 100% with the ankle injury last week. There was some report, I don't know if you saw this, there was some report, Matt, last week that said Mac Jones still had like a tingling feeling in his toes on the injured leg,
nice.
Which I thought to myself, huh, that can't be good. that doesn't sound very pleasant. So Mac Jones is starting today against the Jets. Jets have looked much better as of late, but Damien Harris, Ramondre Stevenson, probably the only guys you can confidently start. Jacoby Myers, again, probably the only receiver you can confidently start for the Patriots as a WR3. But on the Jets side of things, I mean, James Robinson now sharing the backfield with Michael Carter after Breece Hall is done for the season. So I don't know. Again, maybe a fantasy quagmire here, but until we actually see how the split in the backfield works today with Carter and James Robinson, I'm not sure you can confidently say either of them are anything more than a flex play.
Yeah, and we don't even know if James Robinson is actually going to play
today. That's true,
too.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the other thing. So we have to keep the way I look at it is I assume James Robinson gets the bulk of the early down work, and I assume Michael Carter gets the bulk of the passing work. But Mike LaFleur, the offensive coordinator with the Jets, also talked about riding the hot hand. I mean, great. Yay. Wonderful. Really looking forward to that. I think James Robinson is the better of the two running backs, but that remains to be seen. I did want to throw out a couple of things here. Damien Harris was very sparingly used last week, and it could have been just because he was coming off the hamstring injury, but this does feel like Ramondre Stevenson's backfield. So he's RB9 in half PPR, and that was with the first 2 weeks where Damien Harris was getting the bulk of the carries. He's also being used in the passing game. He's tied for sixth among running backs with 25 catches, 22 of which have come in the last 5 weeks. That is absolutely bonkers. That's exactly what you look for. We also have a question just because this came in and talking about getting it in before. Brandon from Whitby, Melvin Gordon or Jacoby Myers for my flex PPR. He says, everyone is hurt, LOL. I'm leaning towards Jacoby Myers in this just because of the flex PPR or because of the PPR. And Melvin Gordon is just, I don't know what this game is going to look like and I don't trust him. So I'll lean Jacoby Myers. Just wanted to make sure we got that for Brandon before that 9:30 game started.
Absolutely. Yeah. The game, they're basically about to kick the ball off right now in the next like 5 minutes here. So I'm glad we got that one in. And yeah, from the Jet side of things, real quick, Matt, I don't believe Corey Davis is playing today, which basically means that Zach Wilson's favorite toy is not available. Does that mean perhaps some actual usage for Garrett Wilson? I'd like to think so, but you never really know. That's the truth. You just don't know, right? It could be Elijah Moore. It could be Braxton Berrios for all we know. It could be Tyler Conklin for all we know. Those guys are all talented players. It's just impossible to parse out who is going to be the main wide receiver for Zach Wilson in Breece Hall's absence, because I have my doubts this will become a run heavy team all of a sudden without their top and most talented player. So I think all things considered, all wide receivers in this team can be considered flex plays at the best of times. So here's hoping we see one of these guys separate themselves this week and maybe you can be a little more confident in using them going forward.
Yeah, the Elijah Moore thing is just so bizarre. Like, they don't throw him the ball and then they make him an inactive last week. And you know that's going to be the guy that breaks out, right?
Oh, yeah.
Just because he's playing for something now with Corey Davis out. And I mean, the Patriots didn't look good against the Bears last week. I think that Zach Wilson's rushing upside is actually decent because he's certainly not Justin Fields athletic, but he's pretty athletic. So I do think that there's some value there, but at the end of the day, I'm not comfortable with starting Garrett Wilson or Elijah Moore, but I feel like I tend to lean Garrett Wilson a little bit more, and I don't even like saying that.
I know, right? It's not an ideal situation. That's definitely the case. I know a lot of people probably spent a lot of fab dollars or a high waiver priority on Garrett Wilson after his hot start with Joe Flacco, and then he has completely disappeared off the face of planet Earth after being after the QB switch went from Flacco to Zach Wilson. Maybe things change now that the offense will probably by necessity be more pass-focused, but we'll have to wait and see, because I think until we actually see how it gets delineated here, I think you probably are throwing darts at a dartboard here. But I am looking forward to seeing what kind of usage the Jets use for their wide receivers against the New England Patriots later today. That game goes at 1 p.m. Eastern. We're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, we'll continue the start sit. 7 more games to go here, so we'll get to all of the start sit questions. If we have some time, we'll answer some more text line questions, but don't worry, we will get to every single one of your text line questions before the 1 p.m. games get going in about 4 hours time. But you're listening to The Fantasy Show, Show and Matt on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. One more segment to go of the program across your airwaves. Week 8 in the NFL is officially underway. I guess it started on Thursday night, really, but it's underway here on Sunday with the game in London, England, between the Broncos and Jags, just a couple minutes into the first quarter. Zeros there. And the rest of the game start at 1 p.m. Eastern. Still some time to text us at 590-590. We'll answer all your text line questions before the 1 p.m. Eastern games get going in a couple of hours. But, Matt, we got about 20 minutes. We got 7 games. Let's roll through these last ones. Steelers at Eagles, a battle of Pennsylvania. And look, I was going to start by saying the most reliable players for the Pittsburgh Steelers are blank X, Y, and Z. And then I thought to myself, you know what? There's no one on this Pittsburgh Steelers team. As much as I love a lot of these guys who are very, very talented, unfortunately, there's no one who I would necessarily describe as quote unquote reliable on this team because of the quarterback change, the quarterback struggles, the offensive line struggles. Like, I guess the usual suspects, for lack of a better word, are Najee Harris, Deontay Johnson, and George Pickens. But I mean, even those guys are like RB/WR2s, 3s at best because of how chaotic it has been for the Pittsburgh Steelers this year.
Well, not only that, they go up against the Philadelphia Eagles this week, who are a really good defense. I'm sitting Deontay Johnson in a couple of leagues over, you know, Adam Thielen and Tyler Boyd. Like, it's just a tough start. That Eagles secondary is really good. You know, Darius Slay, Avante Maddox, and James Bradbury. Like, it's a disaster to play against. And so I have a hard time starting anybody with any sort of confidence. George Pickens, just because of the rapport that he has with Kenny Pickett, that drives me nuts, by the way. Pickett to Pickens drives me absolutely insane. But Deontay Johnson is going to get volume every week. So if you have to start him in a flex spot, okay, I can see where you do that. But George Pickens seems to be the better start this week just because of the rapport. And I mean, for the Eagles, I know we got to run. I don't think it's much of a conversation. You start, you know, the usual suspects.
I would say that Dallas Goedert is as close as you can get, like, to the a set it and forget it tight end without having Travis Kelce, essentially, right? Like, yeah. I think all things considered, like, he's not going to get you super flashy numbers every single week, but the potential for those numbers are there, and the floor is pretty high. And again, when it comes to the barren wasteland that is tight ends, if you have Dallas Goedert, I think you just start him every week the Eagles play, and that's pretty, unless he is injured, and that's pretty much it, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe assumption. Devontae Smith has been really good. AJ Brown's been really good. Miles Sanders has been really good. Jalen Hurts has been excellent. I mean, it's a good fantasy offense. You can't complain about it. And Dallas Goedert, like you said, super, super reliable. He's been great, and I'm not all that surprised.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal. I've been a big fan of Goddard. I honestly think if he was used in the way like Travis Kelce was used, if he was the featured player on an offense, he'd probably be one of the best tight ends in the entire NFL. And I think he already is, which is pretty crazy to say, but I just from a fantasy workload perspective, he might be even more attractive. But as it stands, yeah, you're starting Dallas Goedert at the tight end spot, and I don't think you're hear any arguments from many people. Titans at Texans. The Titans offense, apart from Derrick Henry, is hard to trust. It was hard to trust with Ryan Tannehill, who is apparently sick and also dealing with some kind of injury. So Malik Willis gets his first career start at QB. That'll be exciting because I generally just like seeing rookies play. I think it's exciting. And Malik Willis does have some intriguing athletic talent, especially with the feet and the arms. So I'll be intrigued to see what it looks like. But all things considered, it's still going to be the Derrick Henry show. So apart from the RB1 Derrick Henry, I don't know if you really want to take too many risks with any of the pass catchers with a new QB in there.
No, I'd be starting the Texans defense wherever I can. That's how I feel about that.
Well, on the Texans offense then, right? I mean, you're starting Damian Pierce again, probably a lower end RB1 with just the sheer amount of volume he gets. He carries the ball a lot. So if that being the case, yeah, lower end RB1 for me for Damian Pierce, maybe a high end RB2, depending on how you feel about Damian Pierce. But I think he has been good enough that you can feel good about him. And Brandon Cooks, no Nico Collins this week. He's been ruled out. He didn't practice all week, so you weren't starting him even if he did play a surprise active at the end of the day, but he is not playing this week. Brandon Cooks has an injury as well, but he's been listed as questionable all week. It certainly looks like he's going to play, which leads me to believe that, I mean, this will probably be a game where they just give the ball to Damian Pierce a zillion times, but Brandon Cooks, I'm going to rank him as a WR3 with WR2 upside, let's say, this week, Matt.
Yeah, I think that's a good matchup against Tennessee. They're giving up. They haven't been great across the board. I think you get a bounce back from Brandon Cooks this week. It's probably his last game as a Houston Texan. I actually like Davis Mills this week. 302 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception against the Raiders last week. I do think that he has another good week against the Titans, who have given up the 8th most points per game to opposing quarterbacks. So I think that connection works out really well this weekend. And I do agree, Damian Pierce is going to get lots of opportunities this week.
Yeah, I think I saw a lot of text line questions saying things like, oh, I'm starting Pierce in one of my 2 running back spots because of bye week. So because Austin Eckler's on bye, or because player X is on bye, or player Y is on bye. Either way, I think you can feel pretty good about starting the rookie running back, Damian Pierce. He's been pretty good all season long. The next game on our list here, Commanders at Colts. Again, Carson Wentz still on the IR with the finger injury. I think he had surgery, but he will be. They'll look to bring him back in a couple of weeks, but he is not starting today. Taylor Heinicke returns. Antonio Gibson, JD McKissick, Brian Robertson, another fantasy quagmire. Again, I think I'm sitting McKissick because he just hasn't been super reliable at all this year. It hasn't really been a lot of presence for him in box scores. So I'm benching him. Gibson and Brian Robinson, probably dueling flex plays, but I guess the most attractive play this week from a Commander's perspective, I suppose, is Terry McLaurin. And again, we talked about this earlier, but he obviously gets a bit of a boost with Heinicke being the quarterback, because he seems to throw the ball to Scary Terry's way more often. So I guess McLaurin, and if you must, Curtis Samuel is a flex play, but that's probably it.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. The Colts defense is just super interesting. By the way, Russell Wilson just threw an interception, unsurprisingly, because Russell Wilson stinks. Terry McLaurin, yes, last week 5 catches, 73 yards and a touchdown. I do agree with you on the Curtis Samuel thing. He's kind of slowed down in recent weeks, but he's double-digit points in full PPR last week still, and he's had at least 7 targets in all but 1 game this year. But I agree, closer to a flex play. And if I had to choose, even though Antonio Gibson is the more talented of the running backs there, I'd rather start Brian Robinson, only because he's the one who's getting the work here.
On the Colts side of things, it's kind of the same conversation we've had when QB changes happen basically anywhere, right? We were talking about this with the Jets. We kind of talked about this with the Patriots in the last couple of years. We were talking about it a lot today specifically. The Colts have officially changed permanently. It's not a temporary change. They've changed Matt Ryan to being the backup QB. He's benched permanently. Sam Ehlinger is going to be the starting quarterback going forward. And again, Ryan has been not great this season. He's also injured. So this more seems like a way for them to allow Matt Ryan to save some face, it would seem. So with that being the case, it certainly feels like they're just going to give the ball to Jonathan Taylor 30 to 40 times today. But it unfortunately downgrades what we had hoped would be a very attractive situation with Michael Pittman Jr., even with Alec Pierce to a certain degree. All these guys, Paris Campbell probably as well, all of these guys get a bit of a downgrade because of the QB change. Because we just, honestly, the truth is, you just have no idea who Erlinger is going to favor. It's very possible it ends up being, let's say, Pittman or Pierce or one of these guys emerges. But you would be guessing because there's no way anyone can know for sure. Even the beat writers who watch the Colts play every day, there's no way you can sure how it's gonna unfold in a game situation. So I would proceed with caution with all of these guys. Everyone being in maybe an WR3 at best.
Yeah, and like Pittman has the highest upside, but when I see a backup quarterback come in, I usually look back to camp and say, yeah, okay, who was not a starter at that time? So Alec Pierce would be the guy that stands out to me, even though he ended up asserting himself as a starter, you know, as camp went on. But I'm sure he got a lot of reps with Sam Ellinger. Here's the thing with Ellinger. He's a very athletic quarterback, so I think that there is going to be a rushing floor here, but it's absolutely a wait-and-see approach with him. I mean, you start in Michael Pittman, probably as, like you said, a wide receiver three with upside. And hey, who knows? I mean, can Sam Ellinger be worse than Matt Ryan was? I mean, he could, but I don't think he could be that much worse.
Yeah, the bar is not super high. It's not like not quite on the ground, but like you still have to bend over to pick it up, right? Like it's still not a,
yeah,
not
a, hurt your back a little bit. Yeah, hurt your back a little bit to go get that bar.
So yeah, maybe it won't be all that much different, honestly, the way things have gone so far this season. 49ers at Rams. Let's boogie through these last couple of games here. No Deebo Samuel. He is out, I believe, this weekend. He's not playing. So with that being the case, Brandon Ayuk probably does get a bit of a boost, but this is going to be, I imagine, Matt, the Christian McCaffrey show, which basically means that it does make Jeff Wilson Jr. a bit of an afterthought. I just would imagine after that, we saw him use sparingly last week and still looked decent in like the very handful of rushes he got last week in week 7, that you're probably going to consider Christian McCaffrey an RB1 this week for the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, it feels like he's going to get 30 touches this week. I mean, he's not going to, but it does feel like one, yeah, of those weeks where he's just going to get the ball a ton. Brandon Ayuk show. I'm going to do this again with one of the later games. It'll be the Bengals and Browns. But if you could guess where Brandon Ayuk is in half PPR scoring on the year, where would you guess he is?
Oh, boy. I think probably like around WR15.
He's wide receiver 20, and that was surprising to me. Like, Deebo Samuel, I think, was wide receiver 12. As we have our first touchdown in the England game.
Of course it is.
And it is your boy, Evan Ingram.
Disgusting.
Unsurprisingly, Evan Ingram. Who would have thought? But Ayuk has been really good, and he's really turned it up, like, the last 3 weeks. So I really like him in this matchup because – even though the Rams secondary has been better lately, on the season, they have not been very good. So I like Brandon Ayuk. I'm not so sold on George Kittle, even though you're probably going to start him because of the position. But the Rams are really good against opposing tight ends. So this is going to be tough sledding for George Kittle this week.
On the Rams side of things, I think, again, you're probably starting Cooper Kupp and Stafford on like most weeks, generally speaking. Stafford probably more so in two QB leagues because he's been relatively disappointing in single QB leagues, probably a QB2 perhaps at best this weekend. But I think Darrell Henderson, because the Cam Akers is not going to play. Certainly doesn't look like Malcolm Brown is going to be the guy beyond getting backup snaps here. So Darrell Henderson probably going to be that guy. Maybe Kyron Williams comes out here. I think the window for him to be activated is open. He was not activated today. So maybe that's a question for, maybe next week or the week after, Matt.
Kyron Williams will be interesting. The guy that we have been told that he will get some snaps at running back and will get some work because they're not sold on Malcolm Brown and Darrell Henderson. I think he's battling illness. I think he's sick. Ronnie Rivers, I mentioned him last week, and he's a speculative ad in deep leagues because if he ends up being the guy, like there's a chance he could end up, you know, making some noise in this backfield. He was drafted by the He was signed by the Cardinals after being undrafted. He never ended up playing for them and then ends up with the Rams. The leading rusher in Fresno State second leading rusher in Fresno State Bulldogs history. So interesting to watch Ronnie Rivers' involvement. And I'm curious to see what happens with Allen Robinson. Best game to date as a Ram before the bye. 5 catches, 63 yards, 1 touchdown on 6 targets. I really am curious to see if they finally start to get Allen Robinson involved a little bit more. The bye week usually does help that, so I'd be curious to see where we go from there.
Yeah, and Van Jefferson was activated today, so more options for Matthew Stafford. Giants at Seahawks. Daniel Jones been pretty good QB2. He has a lot of rushing touchdowns, rushing output, just generally speaking. I think he's definitely startable in a pinch. I think he has been definitely pretty good so far, all things considered, this season. Saquon Barkley are obviously starting him. Wan'Dale Robinson probably, and Darius Slayton as well. They're both probably flex plays to me, maybe even approaching the WR3 categories. But again, I think I expect to see a lot of Slayton, Wan'Dale Robinson questions on the text line. But those guys are, again, to me, flex plays right now. Right now, no Kadarius Toney until we see a little more clarity in the passing game. But again, relatively low passing volume here. Seattle Seahawks, Geno Smith, QB2, again, probably. Only because, again, the injuries to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett have it been a bit questionable as to who is going to catch the ball from Geno Smith. But he has been very, very good so far this season. So I think you can still start him probably in the Daniel Jones range as well. They're probably both QB2s this weekend. Kenneth Walker, slam dunk RB1, I would think, because they just give that kid the ball a zillion times a game. Is he the new Breece Hall? Probably. Maybe. He has been very talented. I think the question for me, pass catching wise, Matt, is who do you start between Noah Fant and Will Disley? Because it feels like you're really guessing at this point.
Yeah, Disley and Colby Parkinson had more targets and catches than Noah Fant last week, but Noah Fant played 73% of the snaps. So I think we're trending towards Noah Fant with, you know, Tyler Lockett is a game time decision. DK Metcalf, we think he's going to play. If Tyler Lockett doesn't go, I like Marquise Goodwin. He's caught 2 touchdowns last week, and they're going to have to throw the ball to somebody. And we look at, you know, Evan Ingram last week against the Giants had 4 catches for 67 yards. I do wonder, especially if Lockett's out, if we see a little bit more of Noah Fant involved in the offense. And like you mentioned with Kenneth Walker, look at what Travis Etienne did on 14 carries last week against the Giants. I think that Kenneth Walker is going to be just fine, thank you very much, this week against the Giants.
All right, we're into our primetime games here. I'm just going to ask you one question for the Packers, because they have been really, it's just been an abysmal offense so far this season. Do you start with no Sammy Watkins, with no Alan Lazard, do you start Romeo Doubs after he got you a whopping 0 points in week 7?
No. I don't, because I'm also sitting Aaron Rodgers. This is just a bad situation for the Packers. They're going up against the Bills, who are coming off the bye, so they've had the extra week to plan. A.J. Dillon is a bit of a punt play at flex because the Bills' run defense has been so good. And Aaron Jones is, I have him as an RB2 this week because he does get used in the passing game. I think the beneficiary of all of this, all these guys out, is always Aaron Jones just because of how good he is in the passing game.
And for the Buffalo Bills as well, I mean, like, you don't need us to tell you to start Josh Allen or Stephon Diggs. Devin Singletary probably is the only – Singletary probably the only running back you can feasibly start here as a lower-end RB2. The Packers have not been great, so if the Bills get up early on, you can imagine they're going to use Singletary to salt away some time on the clock. But beyond Diggs, I suppose that means Gabe Davis is a flex play. But he has been more boom than bust, but he still is, I think, a boom or bust player just because of A, the way the Bills spread the ball around, and B, because Stephon Diggs commands the majority of the targets.
Yeah, I like Diggs this week. I do like Diggs every week. I like Gabriel Davis this week. The Packers have been good against opposing quarterbacks, but the best quarterback that they've played so far is Kirk Cousins, and he's not Josh Allen. And the Vikings offense, for how, you know, good it's been, is not the Bills offense. So I like both of those guys. Singletary is in for a decent start. Packers allowing 9th most points per game to running backs. Show, this is the narrative that we have to keep an eye on. How do the Buffalo Bills use James Cook? Coming off the bye, rookies tend to have a different game script because they're integrated in the offense a little bit more. I would be very curious to see the pecking order and how many touches that James Cook gets this week. That's my storyline that I'm looking out for.
And the final game this week, got a couple minutes left here. Bengals at Browns on Monday night. I think it's a pretty short conversation for the Browns because it's Nick Chubb and essentially no one else now that David Njoku is injured. Kareem Hunt, I can't imagine he plays at the trade deadline the very next day because this is a Monday nighter. So I can't imagine Kareem Hunt plays tomorrow night ahead of any potential trade. So even if they say he's not being traded at some point, I would suggest just avoid playing him just to be on the safe side. So it's pretty much Chubb, if you have to start Amari Cooper, I would hope you don't have to, but again, maybe a WR2 at the best of times, because they're going to just give the ball to Nick Chubb a whole hell of a lot. On the Bengals side of things, no Jamar Chase. He has the fractured hip, a torn labrum. So I imagine Jamar Chase's absence will mean more targets for T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd as well. I'm starting both those guys this week if you can, but Hayden Hurst probably the only other beneficiary, because you're starting Burrow and you're starting Mixon in most cases.
Okay, Sho, I'm going to ask you quickly. Tyler Boyd, half point PPR, where do you think he ranks?
Oh boy, probably he's a WR2, maybe like WR17.
13. Wow, I was stunned to see that. Absolutely stunned. He had the big week last week. I think he had like 8 catches for 155 and a touchdown. He's been good. For the Browns, I actually like Donovan Peoples-Jones with Njoku out. 71 or more yards in 3 of the last 4. And in the other game, he still had 50 yards. Also has at least 5 targets in those games. I think they're going to try and wrap up Amari Cooper, which should open up Donovan Peoples-Jones. And I do like Tyler Boyd this week. I love T. Higgins. Should be a very interesting Monday nighter. And I can't believe I got all that in so quickly.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to seeing Tyler Boyd's usage today. A lot of Tyler Boyd questions in the text line. Still some time to shoot us some questions. 590, 590, name and location. Shoot us a question on the People's text line. We'll answer all of those after we're done here. But you're listening to The Fantasy Show. We'll talk to you next week on the Sportsnet Radio Network.